the government's top five executives are being honored by Government Executive. This year, the magazine will unveil the top chiefs in information, human capital, finance, acquisition, and information security. And Tom Shoup is, of course, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive magazine. He joins us right here, right now, live. Mr. Shoup, how are you?
Just fine. How are you, Chris?
So, doing very well. Are you excited about the big game tonight?
I am. It's almost too much to take. It's a lot of hype going on.
Yeah, I know. This guy has to pitch like a no-hitter. I think people are going to be disappointed if he doesn't pitch a no-hitter.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy because I don't see how you could possibly live up to this at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
But then again, he has more money than I do.
That's right. Yeah, I know. It's a $50 million signing bonus. Not bad. Talk a little bit about how you guys – Chiefs of the Year 2010, you guys have been doing this for a couple years.
This is the sixth year we've done a special issue of the magazine focused on government's chief officers. Sometimes people call them the CXOs.
Or the C-level suite. We have
C-level,
all sorts of, yeah.
Exactly. So chiefs of finance and acquisition and human capital, all the ones you mentioned. And this year we decided again to talk about, you know, the issue focuses on the challenges that they face.
And how do you, I mean, it seems like a hard, because there's a lot of interesting work being done. How do you select the best?
Well, what we tried to do is identify certain of the chiefs that we really think exemplify the challenges that their set of officers is dealing with and have come up with innovative solutions for them. So we're not going out and claiming, hey, we have found the absolute best people or that we had a competition for this and these are the best. But what we are saying is they are really taking innovative approaches to addressing the challenges that they face.
And there are it's interesting. I was down at Brookings this morning, and federal CIO of Vivek Kundra was there, and CTO Anish Chopra, and talking about how all the pieces fit together. But a lot of challenges all across. I mean, whether it's security, human capital, finance, a lot of big challenges for all of these leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. As you go down the list, you realize there are big things in each of these areas. In the human capital officers, there's obviously a big push on to reform the federal hiring system and the federal personnel system as a whole. CIOs, they're on the hook to get to open up the government, make things more transparent. Chief acquisition officers, there's huge amounts of money obviously going out in the Recovery Act that they have to deal with. CFOs are dealing with hundreds of billions of dollars in erroneous payments made by agencies. So, there is absolutely no shortage of challenges for these people to take on.
And I think, and I keep hearing, and I see in poll data, people increasingly frustrated and saying, oh, why isn't the government able to make things work? And these are the people who they're the people on the front lines who have to figure out how to make these things work.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And they're highly experienced people who are bringing a lot to the table. And I think if Americans knew what these people were doing and how they were addressing these challenges, they might have a lot more favorable view than if everything wasn't through the prism of sort of, you know, how we're dealing with oil spills and that
kind
of thing.
So this issue comes out next week.
It does. June 15th.
Can we get a little preview of who some of these people are?
Yes, I can tell you.
Hold on. We have music. We can do this.
That's this just in.
Oh yeah, we don't need that.
Really, you're overselling it just a little.
Well, no, it's I like these things because it allows you to recognize people and there's really innovative work going on out there. So I know a couple of the names. So let's talk about information security. The guy you chose was
John Streufert, CISO of the State Department.
Very nice. And so when you saw him, when you came across him, what is he doing that particularly piqued your interest?
What's really interesting about what he's done is he is at the forefront of what is possibly the biggest challenge in information security in government right now, and that is shifting from a paper-based compliance sort of process. I know you've gone over these issues many times yourself on your show. That process that's currently required to a process of continuous monitoring of threats to see where the real vulnerabilities are. And he's sort of leading the way at the State Department in coming up with a system that not only implements that kind of continuous monitoring, but really grades all kinds of embassies and State Department offices on how they're doing in that area. So they're essentially competing against each other to see how well they can deal with these threats. And as a result, the number of security risks to agency computers has dropped 90% at the State Department.
Well, and one of the challenges always for the State Department is you talk about teleworking. They're all over the world, and you have to be all over the world. And they're in a lot of countries where people don't necessarily like us, so you have to really protect that data.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, it's obvious that they have some very sensitive communications going on, so it's critical for them to address these risks, and they're spread out all over the world.
So that's information security. Human capital is also an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. We unveiled that one today. That's Jeff Neal, the CHCO at the Homeland Security Department.
Very nice. And what did he do that particularly, I mean, they're trying to bring on a lot of folks very quickly, so it seems like that's a big challenge in and of itself.
They really are. I mean, they've got, you know, any challenge you can think of in the human capital arena, it's playing out somewhere in the Homeland Security Department. A couple of the things that he's really been focused on are, number one, dealing with what the leaders of DHS have now identified as an over-reliance on contractors at the agency. In their view, they've become a little too dependent on contractors, and they need to bring some of that expertise back in-house. So that's a big focus of his to oversee how they do that. And a second thing is he's very big on leadership development and developing that next generation of agency managers and executives. So he has a comprehensive plan that he's putting in place to do that. And he has a lot of experience in these kind of things.
And do you want to give us a little peek at the other ones? I know they're coming later on in the week.
I can't tell you who the names are. People are going to have to go to govexec.com to see those. But I can tell you there are some very qualified people.
Although I did see, because you're having an event around this, too, and some of the names were in the notice about the event. So there was...
Oh, great. Now you're going to give it all away.
I was going, oh, I know they're unveiling them one by one, but there are all the names. But they're good people, and I'm not going to... people want to be creative enough to go find it. They can go find it on their own. But they're good people.
Yeah.
And particularly the IT person is working for one of the big agencies and doing some, he's come back to government and really trying out some innovative ideas.
Yes. Yeah. I would say across the board, these are really highly qualified people who are taking really innovative approaches to try to make things work better.
Do you see something, as I said, you've been doing this list for a number of years. Do you see something different this year? It's the first time you've really done it under a new administration with new faith. Well, you did it last year, right?
Yeah. The story last year, though, was all about transition and what were the priorities going to be and how were things actually going to look. This year is really more like, this administration is in place. They have some very serious priorities. They want to move quickly on certain things, and they need to have people who are behind them and pushing these initiatives. So it's much more about the specifics of how do we do exactly what needs to be done.
I wanted to quickly get your take on the 5%, the announcement that 5% budget cuts coming, and you've been watching this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Does this sound like same old, or do you get a sense that there's something different, something new here?
I have to say, in all honesty, it's a little more on the side of same old than something actually new here. I think this is, in a certain sense, there's an element of kind of tinkering around the edges with this. And, you know, it's obviously not where the real savings are. I do think that the idea of allowing agencies to keep a portion of what they save, that's fairly innovative. Something that's never really been tried on a wide scale before and could provide more of an incentive for agencies to identify these kind of savings. But there's a lot of things that people need to know. Like, agencies can identify a lot of savings, but it's not really up to them to decide how much funding their programs get. That's up to Congress.
Yeah,
Congress, as we all know, doesn't necessarily have program performance at top of mind when they're funding things.
And that's, I think, so often the challenge here is, everyone talks about program performance, but then when push comes to shove, when you actually have to implement something that can actually help agencies perform. And, you know, we've been covering the budget process for a long time, and Congress never passes the budgets on time, sometimes a quarter, sometimes more late. And so agencies have to spend that money by the end of the year. So that just smashes the amount of time that they have to spend money. It's it's a crazy process.
Yeah, it is, you know, fundamentally broken in a lot of ways. And also, the reality is that there are substantial numbers of members of Congress who support certain programs that are demonstrably not performing very well, but they're popular with constituents.
Or they're in their district.
Exactly.
Yeah.